I'm Joe Wood, and I believe. 1995,
Tucson, Arizona. Gail Jones and her 14-year-old daughter Becky, not their real names, are relaxing at home watching TV. Suddenly, Becky screams and grabs at her chest. Alarmed, Jones rushes her daughter to hospital. The emergency doctor said the young girl's muscle had been dislodged from her chest, as if in a violent football injury. Knowing it to be impossible to suffer such an injury watching TV, Gail becomes even more confused while at the hospital. She talks to another mother of a teenage girl in the emergency room with exactly the same injury. Mother and daughter leave the hospital at midnight. Atop an overpass during a 3-minute drive home, Gail becomes aware of a bright light engulfing the car. Becky starts screaming again. Suddenly, the car is under the overpass and facing the wrong direction. It is now 1:30 a.m. Once Gail regains her bearings, she continues home on the overpass when she spots a UFO about 7 feet above the car. It was round, about 8 feet wide, and made no noise, she would later say. It had red, blue, and white spinning lights on its bottom, she said. And it followed them home, where it hovered over nearby trees for an hour.
Welcome to Alien Nation, the show about extraterrestrials and UFOs, asking the question, are we alone? In Alien Nation, I talk to other Earthlings about their otherworldly encounters, and we love hearing your stories, so please get in touch. I'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. My guest today needs no introduction. It is David Icke. Yay! David, I'm so thrilled to talk to you. That was so lovely.
Very nice to be with you, Joe.
Good to see you too. So as this is about UFOs and aliens, I want to know firstly, have you ever had any experience, extraterrestrial experience, or seen a UFO or seen aliens? Or
we've all seen strange things in the sky, but I mean, you know, it doesn't mean that they're not explainable, although many of them aren't. But my interest, Joe, really, in the whole non-human phenomena, what we call extraterrestrial, is how that relates to the manipulation of human society. And, you know, I've become infamous since the 1990s.
Yeah, I know.
For saying, I've been infamous for a lot of things, but infamous since the 1990s, when I started saying that behind the human control system, behind the structure of global control, is actually a non-human race that takes a reptilian form and connects into this other group that goes under the name of the Greys, you know, the classic Greys of UFO legend.
So you think they are connected with the Greys, the reptilians?
Oh, I think so, yeah. And I think they're the dominant force there. And and what I became interested in that phenomenon for was not that I pulled it out the ether, smoking some weed or something. I had some extraordinary experiences and very synchronistic experiences. Since the top of my head blew off in 1990 and 91, and I was launched into a whole new life.
Well, is that the Terry Wogan show that did that?
Yeah, well, it started before that. That was just the public manifestation of it. Yeah. But some amazing things. I mean, just amazing things. I mean, if you put them in a movie, they'd say, oh, come on. But they happened. And it launched me on this this journey of discovery, not just in the whole extraterrestrial arena, but who the hell is running the world and to what end. This is why, you know, I predicted current events in books a long time ago. What is the nature of reality itself? Because if we don't understand the nature of reality, i.e. physicality is an illusion, it's a holographic, non-physical world that we live in.
I don't get that. I heard you say something like that the other day, and I heard you say, this is an illusion. And I thought, how can what I touch, what I feel, what I see,
Okay.
That's my reality.
Yeah, it's your reality, yeah, but it's your experienced reality. But it doesn't mean it's physical. You see, if you've got what the great thing now, especially for people like me, is that what we're trying to get across has analogies all over the place in the technological world that we live in. So if you put a headset on, virtual reality headset.
Oh, one of those, yeah.
And that's driving information through your eyes into your brain. You put the gloves on in these more sophisticated ones, and that's driving touch information to your brain. You've got the audio doing the same. And what the brain then does is decode that, just like a computer does, into a reality. And as you can see, when you see people who are sitting in a room like this, but they've got a headset on, and they're reacting as if what's happening in the is real. And that's a fantastic analogy to the world we actually live in, because there is no external world of physicality. It's going on in here. And how it works is the base foundation of this reality is waveform information. Very simple analogy. Think Wi-Fi. You know, if there was Wi-Fi in this room, where is it? You can't see it.
No.
But the computer tunes into that Wi-Fi, and it takes information in a radiation form, a waveform, and it puts it on the screen in a completely different form. It's the same information, but it's in a different form.
Yeah.
And what happens is that the five senses, they're tapping into waveform information. They turn that into electrical information. They feed it to the brain, and the brain decodes it into digital holographic information, which we perceive as the external world. And if you think of just the voice, that's a classic. I'm speaking to you now, but words are not leaving me. A information waveform field is leaving me, generated by my vocal cords.
Yeah.
Ears of people then pick up that waveform, what we call sound waves, obviously. They turn it into electrical information, they feed it to the brain, and then the brain hears, decodes that waveform field in an electrical form by then into what we call words, language that we hear. I have this thing I do in some of my talks. Does a falling tree make a noise? Well, the answer is only if you hear it. Because what a falling tree does, it's the tree in its base form is a waveform information field. And as it falls, it's falling through the field of possibility, probability that we're interconnected with, like a sea of consciousness. And as it falls, it creates a disturbance in the field. And if there's someone there within decoding shot, if you like, they'll pick up that disturbance and they'll turn it into electrical information, which goes to the brain, and they will hear the sound of a tree falling. But if there's nobody there to decode that waveform disturbance, then the falling tree doesn't make any noise. And to understand the world that we live in, how these, I'll call them extraterrestrial groups manipulate us, you have to understand the illusory nature of physical reality, because so much is impossible if you're coming from physicality. For instance, one of the things I've been laughed at about by people who just don't understand reality is when I talk about shapeshifting. Well, you know,
I'm fascinated about shapeshifting.
Because these reptilians shapeshift into human form. The world, you know, people say, where are the aliens? Well, they're on your bloody television. They are. They're running the world. They just take
I always believed that, because especially now with the governments all saying the same narrative, there's somebody behind that. There has to be. There's got to be somebody that's telling all the governments what to do at the same time. And when you and then I've also had this thing about years ago, I saw a video on YouTube about a guy, and he was talking about beings that thrive on fear, and they call it loosh.
100% right. These reptilians feed off fear. And that's why a major reason, there are others, why human society is structured to generate maximum fear, anxiety, yeah, and all these low vibrational emotions. So if you think of the Avatar movie, that is just a magnificent...
I love that movie.
But that is a magnificent symbol of what's actually happening. If you remember, you had the blue people, the Navi, on their moon or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the
American... guys shapeshifted into one of them.
Yeah, the American military arrived and they want to take this place over because they want these resources. If you take the American military in the Avatar movie and you say, well, actually take them to symbolize the reptilians, that's exactly what's happening. So if the American military had tried to take over Navi society while looking human, well, the Navi would go, hold on a minute, why? Why are these people that don't look like us in all the positions of power, right?
So
what they did, as you say, they took an outer shell of the Navi and they infiltrated Navi society by looking like them. That's exactly what is going on. And this shape-shifting is all part of that, because people say you can't shift from a physical form to a physical form. And funnily enough, you can't. And it would be impossible if that was the situation. But there is no physical. What we're looking at is information fields. This body is an information field, which you and everyone else watching this is decoding into a holographic version of that information field. What these reptilian human hybrids have, which have been talked about going way back into history, is a dual information field. One is human, one is reptilian. And of course, in the natural course of events, that human field is the one that's projected to the world. So if I'm looking at one of these hybrids, these human reptilian hybrids, and they're projecting the human field, which they do, you know, almost the entirety of the time, for the same reason that the American military hid behind the Navi bodies in the Avatar movie. Well, I'm going to decode that into a hollow in my head, as a holographic expression of that information field. But when there's a shift from the human field to the reptilian field, it's not a physical shift. There is no physical. It is a waveform information field shift. To my observed reality, to my decoded reality, I have seen a physical form shift into a different physical form. That's in the decoding systems of the human psyche. It's not an actual fact. So
how did you get to...
This is how the infiltration is happening.
How did you get to discover this yourself then?
Well, from the time that... I had those amazing experiences in 1990.
How did they happen? Those experiences. What happened to you?
Well, it's a long story. It's a long story. But some amazing things happened, and we could get into them when we've got more time, if you like. But what happened is I was launched on to a full time, and I mean full time. I mean, I'm working 7 days a week on this research into who runs the world and why and to what end. And it's not the people we see or think to.
Yeah,
and what's been happening after that, those amazing experiences, my life became an extraordinary series of synchronistic happenings. It's going on to this day, where information and experience of books, documents, whistleblowers, all these different sources of information would come to me in a very synchronistic, coordinated way. And what has been happening is, first of all, in the very early 90s, all the information coming to me in this way was about the fact that there's another force behind governments, and governments actually are not running anymore. And then from about the mid 90s, maybe 95, 96, another subject came into my life, if you like, and that was that behind the human level of the structure of control is a non-human race, and it took a reptilian form. And once a new subject has come into my life, suddenly it's coming at me from all angles. So how the reptilian thing started is that I was traveling around America talking to next to no bugger in that those days. And in a period of 15 days, I met 12 different people who told me of an experience they had of seeing someone, apparently human, turn into a reptilian form and then go back again. And you know, I'm not a kamikaze pilot, you know, in terms of what I say. You know, I don't say, oh, they've told me this, so it's true. I have a method where I call the back burner. I put it on the back burner and I think, well, this is rather extraordinary, but yeah. I'm not dismissing it, but I'm not accepting it either. I'm going to see where this goes. And then more and more and more information starts to add to that. And then you start looking, as I did. I thought, well, if this is happening now, it must have happened. It's not just started, has it?
No.
So I started looking back through the different ancient cultures. And I found this common theme. And I ended up quite a long time ago now, in the late 1990s, meeting a man who became an enormous friend of mine in South Africa called Credo Mutwa. Credo Mutwa was the historian of the Zulu nation and what they call a Sanusi, a very high.
I'm part Zulu.
Are you? Well,
yeah. My mother, my
right, South Africa. That's right. Yeah.
Great grandmother was Zulu, and she married. Well, she had children with a white man, obviously.
Yeah, well, Credo was obviously very famous in South Africa. He was came all the way through the apartheid era. He died in 2020, well up into his 90s, heading towards 100. And we sat and on a media platform we've got called Iconic. There's a 6-hour interview I did with him back in South Africa in the late 90s. It's called The Reptilian Agenda, and.
Yeah.
He just talks about the Zulu legend of what he calls the Chitahuri, the children of the serpent, that,
heard of that.
Was manipulating human society. So I'm picking up now other people that have been on the inside, in America particularly. I've did a lot of work in America for a long period, who are telling me the same stuff. So now I have whistleblowers in the modern world, insiders in the military intelligence network complex, and I've got a Zulu shaman telling me about the history of the Chitahuri, and then you pick up other
there's lots of sculptures and things like that from way back when you can see reptilian beings.
These are, you know, and what you get in terms of symbolism going way back is the symbolism of royalty with the snake. And this is very appropriate because the question I had a long time ago was, so what is royalty? Why are these people and the aristocracy, why are they so obsessed with bloodline?
Yeah, they always said blue blood.
And in Tabrini, blue blood, yeah. So why? I always keep the genes up. Yeah, but why?
Yeah, why?
This is what I found out over a long period of research. What we call royalty are these hybrid human reptilian bloodlines. And the reason they interbreed obsessively
is to keep it that way.
Because if they breed outside of that hybrid line with, I say, the human population, that hybrid information field starts to get diluted and the whole thing falls apart. So what happened, this is an important point, is when eventually humanity grew up enough, we haven't yet in Britain, to ditch the royals and say, hold on a minute, why the hell is bloodline dictating our lives? What this bloodline did, it stayed around in some royal expressions like the Windsors, although that's not going to be around for too long, I'll tell you that. I've been saying that for quite a few years now. That's coming to an end. But anyway, but what it did overwhelmingly is it moved out of overt royalty into these dark suit professions of banking, of business, of the Rockefellers in America and what have you. And so what you have is this network I call the global cult, because that's what it is, that is manipulating global society. All the COVID stuff, it's all been manipulated by them. Why? To justify imposing its will upon the entire human population. A lot of people have started to realize that the world is not like they thought it was. And if you'd have said to people in even early 2020 that the world was going to be how it's become by 2021 into 2021, they'd have called you crazy. But it happened. And because it's happened, it's opened a lot of minds up. Well, hold on a minute. What else is not what we thought it was? And so what I'm seeing is, I did a video a couple of weeks ago, which went out on an alternative video platform. And it's got well in excess of 500,000 hits now, going up to 600,000. And it's about, the title of it is Reptilian Gods and Current Events.
You know, when I did this podcast, it started a couple of years ago, I think 2018, everybody was sort of laughing about, oh, Jo's doing an alien, she's mad. But now it's, in that short amount of time, it's more accepted that we're not alone in the universe than it was 5 years ago.
Yeah, it certainly is. And the agenda is all anti-human. It's fundamentally anti-human.
So what's going to happen to all us humans?
Well, that's the point. They want rid of most of us and total control of what's left. That's the whole point. That's what we're seeing around us now. And so what these reptilians do, and this is another part of, if you don't understand reality, you can't grasp what's going on. If I said to most people, when you look through your eyes, can you see everything in the space that you're looking at? They say, yeah, of course I can, mate. But you're not. The electromagnetic spectrum, which is basically our reality, is, according to mainstream science, 0.005% of what exists in the universe.
Can you imagine what we could see?
Exactly. And visible light, which is the only band of frequency that we can see as a visible reality, is a smear of the 0.005%. So basically, humans are blind. And what, in terms of, as you say, what it is possible to see compared with what the human body will decode us and allow us to see. Now, this reptilian and other non-human groups operate just outside the frequency band that I'm talking about. And so overwhelmingly, the vast majority of the time, they can't be seen. And this explains the phenomena in UFOs and extraterrestrials that you know, people would say, oh, come on, mate, that's ridiculous, that's impossible. And what I mean is those people that say, look, this ship just appeared, right? It just came out of nowhere and then it went into nowhere. And other people will say, look, this ET this reptilian figure, this grey, it just appeared at the end of the bed, right? And then it disappeared.
I've heard those stories.
Yeah. Well, see, you people that think they're streetwise but actually know nothing that the BBC hasn't told them, and what they were told at school, which was to keep them in ignorance, not to enlighten them. They say that's impossible, but it's not. I've just explained why it's possible.
Yeah.
What's happening is we're seeing a tiny band of frequency, visible light. When something enters visible light,
you get that flash.
It just appears out of nowhere, but it hasn't. What it's done is enter your visible capability, and thus to your visible capability, it's appeared out of nowhere. And when it leaves visible light, it appears disappear, but it hasn't. And it's the same with entities and stuff. And so the manipulation ultimately is not even this global cult that is manifesting as people. It's actually being driven and orchestrated from outside of human reality. This cult is the representation of this non-human force within human reality.
So our governments are sitting down with these reptilians and they are saying, this is what's happening.
No, it doesn't work like that. This global cult, it works like this. It operates like a gigantic spider's web around the world. And it has all these different strands in the web are secret societies and semi-secret groups. And then eventually they are your Facebooks and your Twitters and your Googles and your banking system and your mainstream media and your governments, et cetera, and your government agencies. But the vast overwhelming majority of people in that world of the scene have no idea that where the ultimate driver of the policy is coming from. So you have this web and it has an interlocking central mission control, if you like, which I call the spider. And ultimately that spider is not human and it goes out of our reality. But within our reality, hidden from us, most of it, you have the strands immediately around the spider in the web. And they're the most exclusive secret societies that they'll know the hell what's going on. And then you come out from that and now you're still in the hidden, but you're now meeting the secret societies that we know about.
Freemasons.
Oh, big time, yeah. But Freemasonry is massively compartmentalized, as this whole web is. So the vast majority of Freemasons are clueless about what's actually happening. They're just a way of covering it up without knowing they're covering it up. So you come out from this this spider in the web, and eventually you come into the world of the scene, and you have your governments and your government agencies and your Silicon Valley and your media and your banking and stuff. And your World Health Organization. Now, to the public, all these organizations are in and of themselves. They're not connected. They're operating independently. But if you go down to the level of the web is coordinating between them.
David, it was so wonderful to talk to you. That's our show for today. I really hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please rate us on whatever platform you get your podcast from. It helps people like you find us. Today's show was produced by Mike Hansen for Pod People Productions. Theme music by Mike Hansen and Jamie Allen. Special thanks to Nigel Heath and our narrator, Mike Hansen Sr. If you want to share your stories, we'd love to hear from you. Just email info@podpeopleproductions.co.uk. Subject matter, Alien Nation. Beam me up next time. I'm Joe Wood. And I believe.